Our scripture reading for this morning is Matthew 9, verses 35 to 38. These verses are like a hinge between two discourses of Jesus in the book of Matthew. In chapter 9, he has called his disciples into ministry, and now in chapter 10, or here soon in chapter 10, he's about to send them out into ministry. And so between the call and the commission, Jesus says these words to his disciples. And as one who is about to go out as a missionary, these words are perfectly meaningful to me. What would Jesus have to say to me as he is sending me out? And so too for all of us. What is it Jesus would have to say to you once he's called you and now he sends you? Before we read God's word, let us go to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, this is your word. This is the only true thing we'll hear all day. Lord, I am a broken vessel. I am not fit to preach, but it is through the foolishness of preaching that you have chosen to build your church. So I ask that you would do that this morning, that you would fix my heart, that you would open all of our hearts, that we might receive your word, that it would not be our hearts would not be hard soil, that we would not give up when goings get rough, but that we would be firmly planted in your word and motivated by it, that we would remember that we are sinners saved by grace. And so it is that grace that we preach, that Christ came, that he lived the life we could not live and died the death we deserve, that we might have life eternal. We pray that through the reading of this word, your spirit would convict and encourage our hearts this morning. Praise the Senior Son. Amen. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers, they are few. Therefore, pray. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Thus far, the reading of God's holy and inerrant and inspired word. May he add his blessing upon it this morning. In the spring of 2013, Rebecca and I were at a season of transition. I had just finished up my undergrad at Bellhaven. I was about to start seminary. We were expecting our first child, Matthias, and on top of all that, we were looking for a new church. And I was looking for a church for all the right reasons. I wanted a church that did my things at my times and my ways. Right? That's how we look for church, right? A few circles, that's good. And what I found instead was Trinity. Trinity is the church that my wife and I have attended for the last 5 years. And there's a problem with Trinity, and they still have it. I haven't fixed it yet. Is that they're one of those churches. They're a missions church. Do you know the mission churches I'm talking about? These are churches that come and have missionaries speak during Sunday services. It's weird, right? And so I was not what you would call a missions guy. I was local ministry, and I thought if I was just all local ministry, well, that's good enough, right? You see, I didn't see myself as part of the missions. I had two categories in my mind. I had kind of the stuff you do around your house and in your church. Then I had missions. And there was people who did stuff at home, and there was people that did missions. But you see, I was wrong. Because what Jesus is saying to his disciples here is, you are part of the mission. Every one of you. If Christ has called you, as he called Matthew in the last chapter, then you are part of the mission. In fact, the mission that Jesus is calling them to is not exactly an easy mission. Look at verse 16 of chapter 10. "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be as wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before the governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say or what you'll be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speaks, but it is the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated all for my name's sake. So go do missions. That's a missions pitch if I heard it right. Right? You are all going to die and be hated. So go. This is Christ's missions pitch. This is why he calls you into missions. But what Jesus is telling them, as he's preparing them to go to that, he says, you are part of the mission. And here is how you are to do it. You are to do it as my laborers. You are to do it through prayer, and you are to do it in my harvest. So here's our question this morning. How is it that you, Redeemer PCA in Chambersburg, are part of the mission? First thing that Jesus says to us is that you are part of the mission as laborers. Verse 37, then he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers, they're few. The thing that the mission needs is laborers. The thing the mission needs is you. People who will go. Where is it you'll go? Well, that's later in the sermon. Hold on. But for now, what the mission needs, what Quebec needs, what Chambersburg needs, is laborers. What it needs is you. You are part of the mission as laborers. But Jesus sets this up for us a little bit, or Matthew, reflecting on Jesus, sets this up for us a little bit. It's not just go as laborers, so start swinging, right? That's not the picture. Rather, look how Matthew describes Jesus the verse before. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And so the image has changed a little bit. He goes from shepherds to laborers, but still it's this one need, people who will go. And in what way do they go? They will go in the same way that Jesus came to us, in compassion. That is the character of the laborer. That is the character of the shepherd. It is one of compassion. Peter, I think likely reflecting on a situation much like this, is speaking to fellow elders, pastors in the church. And he says to them, you don't serve under compulsion. You do it willingly. You don't serve in order to get something out of shameful gain, but instead you do it eagerly. You're not doing it in a domineering kind of sense and kind of a lord it over as the Gentiles do, but instead, you're an example. That is, that if you want other people to serve, leader, elder, deacon, Sunday school teacher, then here's how you do it. You are a laborer of compassion who leads not to be over, but to build up, to be an example to the flock, that they might see you and say, look, he's pointing us to the example of our shepherd who had compassion on us. That Jesus' words here and Peter's reflection on them, they're a hard calling. That they speak to those who would be elders and deacons and Sunday school teachers in our church and to say, be careful what you get yourselves into. Was it James says, not all of you should aspire to be teachers because you'll be held to a higher account. Elders, deacons, Sunday school teachers, when was the last time you reflected on your leadership and said, am I a leader of compassion? Am I a laborer of compassion? Am I one who is doing this willingly, eagerly, as an example? Am I a shepherd of compassion? Because you see, Jesus is in their synagogues. He's in their churches. They had shepherds. The need is not shepherd, elder, pastor, full stop. Because they had those. He was in their churches. They had leaders. What they lacked was leaders of compassion. And that lack of compassion was enough for Jesus to say, these people are harassed and helpless. They are like sheep without a shepherd. Moses said the same thing. Numbers 27, 16 to 17 said this, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who shall go out before them and come before them, who shall lead them and bring them in, to that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep without a shepherd. You see, this is not a new idea that Jesus is preaching. He's saying that what the mission needs is you, is a laborer who will lead with compassion. So why is compassion so important? What is it about compassion that makes the difference between you can have a leader, a shepherd, who's there and in Jesus' mind doesn't even count, and then you have a leader who has compassion, and somehow that compassion makes all the difference. And that's what he's looking for. Well, again, he had compassion for them. In other words, compassion is intrinsically others-focused. Did you get that? You can never be compassionate for yourself to build yourself up. Compassion is always about looking to the others, which is why I set this up to talk to our Sunday school teachers and our other leaders in the church, but we're not just talking to them. This is to each of us, because each of us have others in our life. There is somebody in your life who's not you, and so therefore there are others in your life. And so how do you reach out to them? What is it the way that you serve as a laborer to the others in this church? Or more importantly, I think in Jesus' mind here, is how do you serve as a laborer of compassion tomorrow at the grocery store? What does that look like in your life? Are you a laborer of compassion? Are you one that looks down upon others, who says, it's not worth it, I'm too busy? What compassionate act is Christ calling you to this week? Beck and I are going up to Quebec so that I can work for a seminary called Sam Beck. Sam Beck is a Baptist seminary, believe it or not, and I'm a Presbyterian minister. So I say that I'll be a Baptarian. And so Sam Beck's motto is this, pour l'église. It means for the church. In other words, Sam Beck looks at theological education. They say, this is not for the pastors. Yes, the pastors will get a little piece of paper and they'll hang it on the wall and it'll look fancy. By the time they're done, they have libraries that are too big of books they've only partially read for quizzes they passed barely, right? And you have all those books and all those papers and they're stacked in your office and people can go in and say, wow, look at that. Is that what theological education is for? So you can go and you can be impressed that we can call Jeff Reverend Catone? Is that what it's for? No. Theological education is pour l'église. It's for the church. It's for you. Every bit, every class, every moment of study that Jeff had was for you. That is what theological education is for, and that's why theological education is ministry, and that's why it's exactly what Jesus is talking about. Because he says that you are leaders who are not leading for your own sake, but you're leading for others. You are leading for the church. So you are leaders, rather, you are part of the mission as laborers of compassion. But there's a means of mission. Did you catch it? It's the old adage, what's the therefore, therefore? The therefore is therefore to tell you what you're supposed to do. What you're supposed to do in missions, the means of missions is this. It's prayer. And I find that incredibly inconvenient. Because I'm a missionary, and so what I want Jesus to say is, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, therefore, give a lot of money to missions, especially to missionaries in Quebec, right? That's what I want Jesus to say, but he doesn't say that. I'm not from the South, I gotta stop saying that. It's not true, I'm from Scranton, but I've lived in the South for the last 8 years, and the South, it seems like Sunday evening services are the staple of Southern Presbyterianism. And they're a good thing. And so I'd imagine a lot of my brothers and sisters in the South would want this to say is, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, therefore have Sunday evening services. Or, you know, I had a hard time as I was a college student, and what gave me strength in the faith was small groups, people getting together, living life together, having these relationships that build them up. And so maybe what Jesus should have said was, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, develop a really vibrant small group ministry. These are all good things, right? Giving to missionaries, Sunday evening services, kids camp, small groups. But when Jesus wants to say, here is the one thing you need as you're about to be hated and killed for my name's sake, he doesn't say any of those. He says the one that we find pedantic, the one we find unnecessary. We find it to be kind of just Christianese. He says the one thing you need to be a missionary is this, pray. Isn't that so counterintuitive, the way we conduct our Christian lives? The one thing I need to be a success. It's because sometimes we don't feel like prayer is effective. You ever felt that way? You felt like your prayers don't get past the ceiling? We've prayed a couple times in this service. I was distracted the first one with Matthias. I was thinking about the sermon in the next second one. It almost feels like prayer is ineffective sometimes, doesn't it? That's not a new feeling. Do you remember Hannah? She's the mother of Samuel, the prophet, right? The guy who anoints David. And she's praying in the synagogue, or in the temple, and the priest comes up to her and says, are you drunk? He's so confused by her prayer that he's confusing it with drunkenness. You ever feel that way? What on earth am I doing? I got up too early so I could sit here and I could kind of talk to myself. Maybe you do it quietly, maybe you do it out loud. Another way, in whatever way you do it, it sometimes feels ineffective. What Jesus is saying is this, you are part of the mission through prayer. Your prayers are effective. This is the one thing, this is the thing you cannot go without for the church to grow. It is the most effective thing to do, is to pray. The Apostle John, in 1 John, says this, we know that if we ask anything in his name, he hears us. He puts in the conclusion of his letter, he's saying, I'm writing these things to you who believe that you may have assurance. Assurance of what? That if you pray, God listens. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe it tomorrow morning as you begin your prayers? Do you believe that God is listening? Jesus says, you are part of the mission, and the primary way you go about doing that is through prayer. Do you know your prayers are meaningful? They're not just effective, they're not just practical things, they're meaningful. It means they matter to somebody. First time I was in Quebec, we are part of a prayer group. One of the things I love about Quebecois Christians is that they pray about everything and at every moment, right? You can go over there for board game night and we end with a prayer session, right? I don't say this in the South as much, right? You can go over there for a beer and you have pray afterwards, right? Whatever you do to go over there for, you go to pray. They are a praying church, and I love that. If you ever tried it, praying in another language is not easy. So most of my friends in Quebec, they pray in French. And the first time I heard this one young woman pray, it hit me really hard. What she said was this: "Merci, Seigneur, pour ta présence parmi nous et en nous." It means this: thank you, Lord, for your presence with us and in us. And that really hit me hard because I've lived the last 8 years in the American South, and I've got Christianity everywhere, right? My chiropractor plays Christian music on the radio while he's just... My dentist is a partner in our ministry. Like, my dentist has given to our ministry. When you go into the local diner, it's called Brent's, right? There's five people doing Bible studies in the diner, right? The church is everywhere in the South. And shame on me. The first thing I think when I walk into Brent's is, how many of them are faking it? Does my chiropractor just have this music on because he knows his customers like it? I've been so saturated with the Christian culture that I don't find it meaningful anymore. But for my friends in Quebec, where it is less than 1% Christian, the fellowship of the church, the prayer, the presence of God, it's everything, because it's all they have. Do you know that you are the part of the mission through prayer? But you know, you are a brother or a sister to my friend Priscilla through prayer. As you pray for her, she's a college student, she's a accounting major, finance major, no, something with money. All right, I don't get money, right? One of those money categories. And she loves the Lord and she prays. Do you know that your prayers for her, for us, as we go to Quebec, they're meaningful, they matter? Because that impression of mine of the American South, where it's just the culture, it's just not true. The church, the presence of God, it's meaningful. It is the one thing that will build the church when all other things fail. Then there's this last thing that Jesus says. He says, therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Essentially, what he just gave us is he gave us the location of missions. That seems like a very broad category, right? Well, missions are everywhere. Isn't that the whole point? Yes. But what I want to look at is the way he describes the mission field. You know, the way we describe the mission field are things like, it's hard, it's Muslim, it's Christian culture, it's de-churched, it's over-churched, it's unreached. We have all these descriptions for the mission field, and they're helpful. They kind of give us a picture into the culture, but Jesus doesn't say any of those things. What he says is, therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. You know, the first time I read that, I was reading in French, actually. The first time I read it in French, and I just slowed. You have to slow down when you're reading another language. I think that's why I like reading other languages, because I'm very distractible, and so other languages make me slow down and focus. And so I slowed down and focused on this verse. And when I read that, I was like, "Wow, it's not just the harvest. It's not just the mission field. It's his harvest." That means that God looks down on Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, and he says, yep, that place right there, that's mine. Right, what's the address here? 276 South, 3rd South Street, something like that. Anyways, I just looked it up, Googled the address, right? That place right there, that's mine. This is his harvest. It completely changes the way we see the accomplishability, like how likely are Quebec missions to succeed? If Quebec missions is hard, de-churched, atheist, then it's really hard, if not impossible. But if it's his harvest, that's completely different. So if you guys come to visit us, right, you come do a short-term missions project in Shawinigan, you'll fly into Montreal. Because when you fly into Quebec, you fly into Montreal. And you fly into Montreal, and Montreal's big city, 2.7 million. And I was flying in at night, and I looked down, and I saw all the lights. It's a big city. There are a lot of lights. And I thought to myself, there is less than 1% evangelical Christian in Quebec. How many of those lights are going out? And I was just moved to tears because I said, there are so many. I can't even know that many people. There is no way this can be done. But do you know what Jesus says? He says, the mission field I'm calling you to, you know, the one that are going to hate you and kill you, mission field I'm calling you, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, the place you've always lived. You know the mission field I'm calling you to? Quebec, Canada, where they pride themselves on two things, French and being atheist. Yeah. That's my harvest. That's my place. You are a part of the mission in his harvest. Have you looked at your life that way recently? Have you said, this place that God has called me into, this town, this neighborhood, this is God's harvest. God has people on this street, and he looks down at them and he says, this one too is mine. How would that change your confidence, your willingness to go and preach the gospel to that person? If you were to not look at them and say, man, that's a single mom that doesn't want anything to do with me. That's a successful businessman that's got everything in order. They don't need me. They don't need my gospel. Yes, they do. If God looks down on them and he says, this one too is mine, then what else can you do but to preach the gospel in his harvest? Jesus has been giving us some information in these verses here about how you are to do missions. You are to do the missions as laborers through prayer and in his harvest. But here's the challenge with how kind of sermons, is that how kind of sermons almost always fail on Monday, right? Well, you forgot the points, so oh well, right? They sounded really good during the sermon, but in reality, it's just kind of idealistic, right? Sermons sound really good when you preach them, but the thing, most of the time, right? The thing is, that the how will never succeed unless you have the why. And the why, it's right here. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. I taught New Testament Survey last semester at Belhaven University and Old Testament Survey the semester before that. And the funny thing is, I'm an Old Testament guy, right? I'm going up to Quebec to teach Old Testament. And so when I got into my New Testament class, the first thing I said to them was, Belhaven University has hired an Old Testament guy to teach New Testament. That's weird. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to teach you the New Testament through the Old Testament. And nothing has changed. I'm an Old Testament guy, and I'm preaching a New Testament text. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to teach you the New Testament through the Old. You see, that line there, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Matthew is alluding to Ezekiel 34. In Ezekiel 34, God is condemning the shepherds of Israel. He says, you eat the sheep. You harass them. You get stuff out of them. That's who you are. So my people are like sheep without a shepherd. But then he says this, Ezekiel 34:11, he says, therefore I myself will seek and search them out. That was a promise that God made hundreds of years before this moment. And now it's true. They are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. But Jesus isn't saying, therefore you guys are the answer to the church's problem. Great, we have shepherds of compassion now. He's saying, no, I'm the shepherd. Jesus is a shepherd of compassion. He is the one who came to seek and to search out the lost. He is the one who came to seek and to search out you. Do you let Jesus praise for you? John 17, the high priestly prayer, Jesus prays for his disciples. Not only for his disciples there in the beginning part of the chapter, but then he says, for all who will come, I pray for them. You know, the book of Hebrews tells us that right now in heaven, Jesus is standing before the throne of God. Do you know what he's doing? He's praying for you. Do you know prayers are effective? Do you know if anyone's prayers are effective? Surely it is Christ's prayers speaking directly to the Father. We have a shepherd of true compassion who came and sought out us when we were harassed and helpless. We have a shepherd who not only tells us to pray, but prays for us. We have a shepherd who comes into the world and comes to his own, though his own reject him. He says, this place too. This place is mine. What does Jesus say to his disciples right before he ascends? All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. This is my harvest. Go therefore. Right? There's the why. Why can you pray and it be effective? Because Jesus, he came first. He was the first missionary and he prays for you. Why can you go into a harvest that so often feels dark and hopeless? Because Jesus came to you. How is it you can have compassion when compassion seems like the last thing you want to have on people? Because Jesus had compassion on you, and you know you don't deserve it. You are part of the mission, but you're not the part of the mission because you're awesome. You're part of the mission because Christ has made you so. Because Christ has come to you. And so now, go. Go be a part of his harvest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you came and sought us out. I pray that you would renew us in this idea that you are our great shepherd. Help us to be people of compassion, people of prayer, and people who go to where you send us. Pray this in your Son. Amen.